Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The Hamp and OB Show.
Post-draft extravaganza.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I didn't know how I was going to react in the moment. I was trying to think through it in my head throughout the process, but nothing feels better than actually being in the moment, actually getting that call.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze.
I see that Keenan's move. I see how explosive DJ is, and I see that Caleb could sling the ball wherever he chooses. I think we could do special things.
It's the Hamp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
If you told me we would end up with both Caleb and Rome, I would have said you were crazy.
The most important piece, we're going to take the North and never give it back.
The Hamp and OB Show
post-draft extravaganza
starts now.
And welcome in, indeed, our Hamp and OB draft special, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas. It's been a long 4 months or 3.5 months or so since we last convened here in this studio, and that was wrapping up a rather disappointing season, which had some signs toward the very end that the Bears were showing a little life at least. But now we get to reflect on the 2024 NFL draft, and the way the Bears conducted themselves seems, on the surface, pretty good.
Andy, what we just heard at the top coming in, those two guys, and okay, it's easy to kind of start throwing around superlatives and grandiose statements and all that, but I'm just saying, I've been around this franchise for 45 years. 45 years. Folks, we've never seen anything like what we saw happen last Thursday night. And OB, I know we got 2 hours to cut and dice this, but I'm just telling you, this is the closest thing we have seen to a franchise quarterback ever in Chicago, and Rome Odunze may be a better player. So, and then you start combining that with the number two pick was Montez Sweat. We know what he means. And then, of course, the fourth pick we sent to L.A. for the Chargers to send us Keenan Allen. So in 3.5 months since we last saw the Bears take on the Green Bay Packers in a miserable loss, so much has changed. But maybe the most important part, OB, Shane Waldron is now the offensive coordinator. Yes. No more Luke Getsy.
Absolutely, Danny. And I just like to open this 24th season up with our number one draft choice and our general manager polls. Folks, Caleb Williams from Southern Cal, he has owned the press, radio, TV, print, whatever, for 2 years as the greatest quarterback to ever come around and ever play. And he's like the second coming of Patrick Mahomes. And obviously, he's there for number one. Everybody for 2 years who takes him. And polls had to take Caleb Williams from Southern Cal as a number one pick. He had to. And here's the reason why. Because if he passed on him and he traded that number one pick to another team and got several high draft choices, and Caleb Williams went to another team and hit it big just like Patrick Mahomes, I'll tell you this right now. Poles couldn't get a job walking donkeys. And I think he understood that. You heard what I said? He couldn't get a job walking donkeys. That's why he had to take Caleb Williams. Now, everything points to Caleb Williams. It's enough with the coaches picking on them. It's enough with the systems picking on him. It's about time we get a quarterback here for the Chicago Bears. We've had one in the history. Sid Luckman. And that goes back into the 40s and early 50s. This kid, I hope he keeps his mouth shut and lets his actions on that field do his talking for him. I mean, sometimes I'm to the point where, something, enough is enough. It is enough. And I hope this kid can come in, take charge, and actually throw the football down the field with accuracy, actually read a defense in the National Football League, and actually score points so we can win a game. Why? Because it's an offensive game in today's world, in the NFL. Why? The rules. D dictate that it's an offensive game. So the bottom point is, I hope this kid comes in here, and I hope he sets us on fire. I truly do, folks. And let me just say it one more time about Poles. Boy, was he in a difficult position. He had to take Caleb Williams from Southern Cal. And again, let me just say it again, because if he didn't, and let's say that kid went to Detroit or he went to the Vikings, okay, and set it on fire. This guy, yeah, like I just said, he wouldn't get a job walking donkeys.
All that being said, and yeah, I love what you said, OB. And it was out of self-defense. Again, I mean, we could have ran this draft because the Bears took the exact two players that were the best players, the best fit, the most timely. But here's
bingo.
The thing.
Bingo,
but,
Danny.
But here's the thing, folks. You know, and again, we don't want to just sit here and cast aspersions about Justin Fields and the 3 years that we saw how miserable, you know, things can get at that position. All that being said, Caleb Williams, even through the hard year last year, they did not, you know, have a great team. They didn't have a defense. The offensive line wasn't that good. He struggled. He'd won the Heisman in 22 last year. It was a completely different story. All that being said, Andy, on the critical downs, the last two seasons, and make no mistake, folks, this isn't 10 years, 30 years ago, where the NCAA and the NFL were a lot different. They're closer together now as far as schematics and talent and certain things than, you know, at any time. So everything is relevant, but through the last 2 years on critical downs, that is, on third and fourth downs, and 199 passing attempts, zero interceptions. Think about that, folks. Think about that. The last 2 years on third and fourth down, at any time, zero interceptions. That right there tells you all you need to know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Rome Adunze, Danny, He Washington, folks, he broke the record in receiving. I'm just looking at the numbers here. He went for over 1,640 yards last season at Washington. This kid is 6'3". What does he weigh, Danny? 225, 228?
Something like that.
He was, let's say, somewhere around 225, 6'3". I'm going to tell you what. We've got a good tight end. We've got DJ Moore. This kid is a player. He is quality. He is quality. I'm telling you, folks, I haven't been this enthused about a team in quite some time. In quite some time, we've got to go for a break.
Got to go for a break, and we'll talk more about the draft and kind of how this changes the offensive philosophy for the Chicago Bears going forward. And I think a lot of the other teams felt the same thing about what you were saying about being an offensive league. The first 14 picks in this draft were offensive players.
The rules tell you. Yeah. That's what the rules give you, buddy. It's all offense now.
We'll talk more about that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number as well. Our Happen OB draft special sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hello?
This is Chicago Bears, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
They told me to hold it for 5 minutes. I told everyone I've been holding it for a month.
Five months.
Now, back to Hamp and OB.
Post-draft extravaganza.
Indeed, Hampton OB, our draft extravaganza, is sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas here. 312-981-7200 is our number. Your thoughts about the draft, your thoughts about where the Bears are headed, especially after that draft. And later on, we're going to talk about some of the free agent moves that they made as well. There's a couple of moves that kind of stand out to me as far as the offense goes, and we'll get your thoughts on that as well.
Obviously,
let me drop this in here right now. You know what also I like about this? This season, with the draft that we have and the trades that Poles has made coming in here the last couple of years, I'm going to tell you, you look at our schedule. I don't know what the dates are. I don't think they finalized
that. They haven't done that yet.
But, folks, we have a schedule that we could really make a great move this year. And I'm talking about maybe even making a run for the North Division and getting into the playoffs. We have an easy schedule. You know, we're not playing the big-time guys game week after week after week. We've got an easy schedule. And if Williams can come through, Adunze can come through, and our offensive line grow up and act like they know what the hell they're doing, I think we might have a chance at winning our division or at least getting into the playoffs. I really believe that, Danny.
No question about it. And obviously, I was doing a little blurb with GNTV, and I mentioned the fact that Ryan Poles has not made every decision perfect. Think about Chase Claypool. That was a blow up. Lucas Patrick, that's a mess. All that being said, they made corrections. They got rid of Luke Getsy and they got Shane Waldron. Now, we don't know much about him in the, you know, as far as, you know, what he has meant to the NFL. He was the coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, and you can make a case that he got Pete Carroll fired because, you know, they didn't make the playoffs again this year. But all that being said, he has had his hands on some really, really good quarterback performances throughout his tenure in the NFL. It goes all the way back when he was a part of the LA Rams, when Jared Goff, you know, they were rolling before they made the trade to get Stafford. All that being said, he goes to Seattle, and a year ago, not this past season, but a year ago, he basically rebuilt Geno Smith into a Pro Bowler. Now, Geno Smith was a journeyman, but all of a sudden, bam, he had 30-plus touchdowns. He made the Pro Bowl. You know, he was a viable, you know, player at quarterback. So, all that being said, he will have so much more to work with Caleb Williams. Think about this. I already gave you the one stat that blows me away. In 2 years, not, you know, the last half of the season, 2 years, even the last season where we saw them struggle, talking about USC and Caleb Williams, they struggled over here in South Bend against Notre Dame, but he didn't throw an interception on third or fourth down. Not only that, his TD to interception rate on third down, OB, 16 touchdowns, zero interceptions. In the red zone, the last 2 years, 46-1. 46 touchdowns, zero interceptions. Think about that. And 113 touchdowns over his 3-year college career. So, you know, there's a reason why I'm excited. There's a reason why people in the NFL realized long ago, and, you know, there was a bunch of nonsense about, oh, well, Jaden, you know, Daniels is going to be the first. No, it never was close. This kid is special. We know he's got some quirks. We'll talk about that at length. But when you look at what he put on game tape, nobody's done this. I mean, this is better stuff than, you know, Joe Burrow's, all those guys. I mean, it's really impressive.
Yeah, the arm strength is something that really stood out, too. And the fact that he can throw from the pocket, which is something that the Bears fans and this offense has really been looking for since the days of even Jay Cutler. I mean, that's about how far back you have to go to see a legitimate pocket passer here with the Bears.
One of the things that really kind of jumps out, and you know, and talking about Adunze, you know, he's the size of a linebacker, folks. He's almost 6'3", 225 pounds. That being said, not only did he lead the nation in yardage, Andy, 1,640 yards. Think about this. The all-time career leader for the Bears reception yardage, who is it, OB?
Got to be Johnny Morris.
Johnny, yep. Morris with about 5,000 yards. 5,000. If Adunze duplicates what he did in college for 3 years, he would be yeah. the new leader. So, all that being said, 1,600.
You got to get somebody that's going to throw the damn football down the field.
Absolutely. But here's the thing I want to kind of impress upon you. Yeah, he's a big guy. He can go up and get it. He can mash corners. He can separate. But he led the nation in 20-yard plus receptions where you're throwing the ball deep. This is what you love.
There you go.
He led the nation on those throws with 31. And DJ.
You got that, Eberflus?
Yeah, DJ Moore. He was third in the NFL last year. Yeah. We saw a lot of big plays. Think about the combination of these two. Throw in Keenan Allen, throw in Cole Kmet. Holy cow, get a seatbelt.
And especially the schedule that we have. And I'll tell you, if things just fall our way for once, and I couldn't tell you how many years, let it fall our way, the football gods. And folks, you might be cheering all year long, and hopefully we get in the playoffs, and I don't think it's out of the question. I truly don't.
You know, the other thing about Adunze to bring up, I was telling you guys off the air, I watched him in that Apple Cup game between Washington and Washington State. It was one of the last games of the regular season. It was cold, it was windy, he made catches not only streaking down the sideline, he made some tough catches inside up the middle of the field and then turned it up, and yards after catch were out of this world.
It's all good stuff. And you were talking about the fact that Caleb Williams, you know, he has the ability to create, extend plays, to move around in the pocket. He's very, very athletic. But all that being said, you're talking about his arm strength. You know, there was a rating where they did on all six of the quarterbacks that were taken in the first round. Efficiency, adaptability, speed, getting the ball out quickly, blah, blah, all these different things. He was heads and shoulders above all of the other quarterbacks that were taken second, third, sixth, 10th, and 12th. So it's not like, you know, he was, well, he's our favorite guy and it was close, but no, it wasn't close. This kid, he's the goods. And the one thing that he was a perfect 5 out of 5 was adaptability, meaning that he can throw from the pocket, he can extend, he can pull the ball down and go on third down for a first down. He can do all the different things that you want in a quarterback. Again, hey, who has got the most pressure on him? No, I don't think it's Shane Waldron.
Yep.
I mean, when you are given gifts like this as a coordinator, let's hope that he does not balk and he, you know, try to recreate the wheel, and like we were trying to do with Justin Fields and trying to make him into something he was. Caleb Williams, adaptability, 5 out of 5. He can do it all. Now it's all on Shane Waldron.
Well, with Getsy gone, Danny, and you know, and I'm going to tell you something. The time that when Getsy came from Green Bay, you know, and you think with Aaron Rodgers and how they throw the ball all over the field, et cetera, et cetera, and you know, and you look at Kansas City and what they do. My God, you look at Buffalo and what they do, and we, year after year, Danny, never utilized the field, the width of the field, the length of the field. We never used our down and yardage that you should attack downfield, when you should attack downfield. In other words, what I'm telling you is we've had poor coaching, very, very poor coaching. No imagination, no understanding of the game. And you're probably saying, well, how could that be, OB? How could that be? These are pro coaches. Well, guess what? There are stupid pro coaches, and we've had too many of them here. And to Shane Waldron, I hope this kid comes in here and understands what the rules are, what an offense receiver can get away with, and move the ball down the field and attack. We've had enough of this slip screen, this bullet screen, or whatever you want to call it. I've had enough of the when it's third down and 8 and you throw a 2 yard out. Danny, I'm telling you something. I'm so sick and tired of that. When you've got talent. And we've had the easiest schedule in the league the last, 3 years, 4 years? Because of how pathetic we've been, you get the easier schedule the following year. Now's the time to take advantage of it. From what I've seen, what Poles has done, and if he's right, picking these right guys, have the right talent at the right positions, I think we might have something, folks, that we could stand up and really cheer about and be proud about. And you know what? It's enough is enough getting shoved around and pushed around by Green Bay. Now it's Detroit shoving and pushing us around, let alone Minnesota. All right? And that comes to the point of me, enough is enough, Bears. I think you've got some quality people here. Coaches, put a game plan together to go down the field offensively and defensively, attack somebody. Go after people. Act like a champion.
Much more ahead here on our Happen OB post-draft special. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. If you want to jump in on the conversation, we've got a lot of room for you here. And again, we're with you till 5 o'clock. Right now, we're going to pause for the news. Our Happen OB draft special is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
You know, very special and a very unique skill set. When you watch him play, there's things that he can do on the field that, you know, you don't see any other quarterback doing. He's very confident in the pocket, very confident, you know, extending a play. The play's never over till, you know, the whistle's blowing.
Now, back to Happen OB.
Post-draft extravaganza.
That was Rome Odunze talking about his new quarterback, Caleb Williams, our Happen OB draft special, a.k.a. the post-draft extravaganza, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers ChevyDriveChicago.com. Andy Mazur alongside the guys here. 312-981-7200 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation.
You know, I'm a whole lot like our buddies at with Chevrolet. We don't believe in hope. We believe in a plan. And when you go back and you look at what I was a part of, that football team, it was a plan. And it all was executed through the draft and then development. All that being said, this is starting to get a whiff of that type of a plan. Oh, yeah. Now, you look at some of the, you know, there's been a couple of, you know, mistakes. All that being said, what you just heard Odunze talking about his quarterback, Caleb Williams, you can tell. You can't fool everybody all of the time. And other great players, when they can kind of recognize and sense that ability that, you know, they see on the field, and they know it, it makes them, you know, terrifically excited about being a part of it. Now, you know, we were talking about this draft and how offensive the whole thing was. Think about this, folks. 23 of the 32 players in the first round were offensive players. Never before happened.
Nope.
23. And, you know, it's like they're listening to OB. They keep hearing him say, hey, the rules tell you to throw the damn ball, to attack people. Now they're starting to figure it out. Now, obviously, we talked about our general manager in self-defense takes the best player.
He had to. No choice.
But then getting Odunze. But all that being said, six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. Guess what? Minnesota got one. Green Bay's got a player. I tell you what, going into the Super Bowl, Jordan Love may have been the best, you know, player in the playoffs at the quarterback position. And then, of course, Mahomes was able to find a way to win in overtime in the Super Bowl. But you, in self-defense, you have to arm yourself with these type of players, these special athletes, and now we have a chance to compete in the North.
Well, here's the thing, Danny. Let's say what we've been talking about. Let's say our quarterback, our new quarterback, Williams, he comes through. Odunze, he comes through. You know, Cole Kmet has a phenomenal year at tight end. DJ Moore continues his fantastic play. And our defense, who showed up last year, and they're going to be better this year. We have basically a new offensive coaching staff. But I'm going to tell you where this is all going to come down to, folks. And listen, what you believe what I'm telling you. It's going to come down to, if all things being equal, the quarterback, he has success, everybody, our wideouts, our tight end, everybody, it's going to be on the offensive line, okay? That has been one of our main problems. I'm telling you, I couldn't tell you how many years. It's unbelievable. Braxton Jones, that Tevin Jenkins, he's missed since he's been here basically almost half the games. Lucas Patrick, give me a break. Nate Davis. Danny, how many games did he miss last year?
Had to be seven or eight. It was, you know, he had some injury. Then his mother passed away, I understand. And then there was some mystery, you know, injuries or something. All that being said, you know, the main trouble we had last year, and it's unbelievable, we ran Mustafa out of town, and they thought Lucas Patrick would be able to be the center that was able to stabilize the line. He was a bust. And then they had put Cody Whitehair in, and Cody, it had kind of passed him by. So all of that being said, there was not one position on the offensive line that had any stability or – you know, if you would, you know, durability. You know, Darnell Wright, the first-round draft pick at right tackle, took some lumps, but he actually played every game. But we picked up a couple of guys in free agency, Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates, two quality players at that position. And the one that I like is Ryan Bates. Ryan Bates, you know, had a lot of ring time with Josh Allen. Obviously, Josh Allen is one of the elite quarterbacks. And when you have a quarterback like that, you want the offensive line to kind of do their own thing and not, you know, hinder the quarterback with issues. Well, I can tell you this, Ryan Bates is going to be about five clicks better than what we've lined up there the last 3 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you know, Nate Davis and Jenkins, these guys, you guys got to start showing up, okay? You got to start showing up. There's 17 games. It's not 162. There's 17 games. And all last year, Dan, it was week to week. It was one excuse after another. Somebody leaves for a funeral, a guy's gone almost a month. I mean, these guys, Jenkins, this guy, what in God's name is he doing on this team, Dan? I'm telling you, if everything goes right, our running backs, our receivers, and everything, and especially our coaching, it's the offensive line, Danny. It is the problem now. It has been the problem in the past. You've got to keep a quarterback upright. You've got to make things happen. And how do you do it? You got to have five guys that you can count on from week to week, month to month, and year to year, and meet the challenge. And guess what, Danny? We don't have them. And it's shown from week to week. All you do, folks, is go back to last year. Look at our offensive line. That's if you could find them, if they were even suited up or if they were injured or whatever. For Caleb Williams to be successful and for us to really get this whole thing going, we got to convert on third down. We got to move the ball down the field. And the most important thing, you five guys up front, got to keep Caleb Williams upright. My God, it's enough already. Show up and play and act like you know what you're doing.
You know, it seems to have, as you were pointing out, there were some free agent signings there, some veteran guys that can probably hold the fort down a little bit here before even the third round pick, Kieran Amagaji, the local kid from Hinsdale that was drafted in the fourth round, can make a name for himself too. Plus, you look at next year's draft and the amount of picks that the Bears have compared to this year as well. I mean, you're hoping that these guys are more than serviceable, but it's kind of addition by subtraction without Whitehair around.
Well, I looked at a stat, and they essentially graded the offensive lines around the league. The best being Philadelphia, the 49ers. You know, they're obviously the teams that everybody is looking at saying, wow, that's what we'd like to have. Bears were obviously bottom third, probably 24th, 5th, something like that. And as bad as they were, I mean, they weren't the worst. And Amagaji, obviously the big tackle from Yale. By the way, what are we doing drafting people?
It's too smart.
From the Poison Ivy League.
One of the best centers we ever had. His name was Mike Pyle, went to New Trier High School, and he went to Yale. And he was one of the best centers in the history of this franchise.
Well, that'd be a great path to emulate Mike Powell.
Yes.
But I don't know if he will. That being said, you were talking before we came back this segment about Braxton Jones. And when is he going to wake up, smell the coffee, and start lifting weights?
Danny,
you know, he gets run over by linebackers.
Yeah, that was my point, that I would jump in there and make that. Folks, you watch this kid play. If you really watch him play, if a linebacker comes blitzing, okay, it doesn't matter if Cole Kmet's on his side or Cole Kmet goes to the other side and then he becomes basically the weak tackle side. But anyways, he's left tackle. He gets bull rushed by a linebacker. Now, linebackers are what? Traditionally 6 feet, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", maybe. Okay, what do they weigh? From like 220, you know, to maybe 250, 260, some of them. They bulldoze this guy. They run over him. And what, last year and the year before, what have we been talking about with him, Dan? The kid doesn't have strength. And I wonder, and I don't know, if they put this kid on a weightlifting program this offseason, which they should have done last season.
2 years ago. And, you know, it takes three things to play in this league. One, obviously, is a gift of size. A gift of talent, you know, being able to move your feet, be coordinate, all that. And then a will, you know, to train, to compete, all that. He's got everything. He doesn't have the easiest part of this, which is the core strength development. And, you know,
They bull rush him all the time, Danny.
Back in my day, the rookies would come in the first year. The next year, they'd be 20, 30 pounds heavier because they realized they have to be bigger, stronger to be able to not only be durable, but to compete. And I don't understand it with Braxton Jones. He's got the athleticism. He's smart. He knows what to do. But he doesn't have the core that you're going to have. Maybe that's what they're telling us when they drafted, this kid. I'm looking for his name.
Amagaji.
Right now, if I'm Eberflus, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to my offensive coaches, you know, and we've got Caleb Williams, who second coming of Patrick Mahomes. Let's hope it is. I'm telling you, what the weakness on this team is, again, our offensive line. And that, you want to talk, they're having meetings right now. That should be the number one. We've got Caleb Williams. We're going to sign him. We've got to keep this kid upright. We've got to make things happen. And, brother, if you don't like somebody, get rid of them. Make a trade, do something, because I'll tell you what, if this kid gets, if he gets mauled this year by a lot of breakdowns in our offensive line, which has happened from year to year to year, okay, and that's just the fact. The number one problem is our offensive line now, as of this day, is our offensive line. Keep Williams upright and available to make good things happen. And it's all those five guys up front, Dan, which we haven't had here. I couldn't tell you how long.
Long time. And when we come back, I'll tell you what Buddy Ryan said. Weeby Eubank, the Hall of Famer, coach of the New York Jets, and Joe Namath said.
I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, top five defense that we had last year. You know, special teams. We're here.
Now, back to Hamp and OB.
Post-draft extravaganza.
The voice of Caleb Williams in our draft special, sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Real quick, we want you to be caller number 7 right now, 312-981-7200. We mentioned that autograph show that Dan Hampton's going to be a part of, signing autographs along with a lot of other former and current athletes at the GT Autograph and Sports Show, Schaumburg Convention Center, May 17th through the 19th. Your caller number 7 right now, 312-981-7200. We'll get you a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Danimal and other guys out there as well.
Well, and OB's point about how the offensive line obviously has to shape up and perform this year.
That's number one right now, Dan, in my book. That's okay. That's the key. And what's the main problem? The offensive line.
Well, last year it was the whole damn design of the offense and the play caller. It was a bucket full of holes, and we were leaking everywhere. Now,
well, we plugged a few of them with a new coach, offensive coaching staff, basically, Danny.
Well,
so that's a good thing.
See, Luke Getsy had never called plays before in the NFL. Matt Nagy had never called plays before in the NFL. So finally, we get a coordinator that has a little experience, and he's been calling him for 3 years in Seattle. He was, you know, a part of the Rams organization back when they were, you know, going to the Super Bowl. All that being said, but your point about the offensive line, how important they are. And Buddy Ryan used to bring this up every year, and everybody's like, why do you always blitz? What's the 46 about, trying to pressure the quarterback? And Buddy said, essentially, I was the defensive line coach of the Jets. They went and won a Super Bowl. But the first day of training camp, Weeb Eubank would say, okay, quiet down. Welcome, guys. This is the whatever year, 1975 team, whatever. He'd say, all right, first things first, Joe, stand up. And he'd point at Joe Namath, and Joe would stand up. And he'd say, that's our quarterback. He's the most important person on this football team. If he gets hurt, we all get fired. So our first job is make sure Joe doesn't get hurt. All that being said, that was 50 years ago. And to basically show how important that whole concept is in this draft, there were 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. But in the first round, there were 9 offensive tackles. 9. The most in history. Obviously, people are waking up, realizing, yeah, that franchise quarterback, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, they're the most. But guess what? Maybe the next most important guy is one of the offensive linemen that's going to protect him.
Dan, we've been talking about that from game to game, year to year, since we've been together. I mean, that's not a mystery. Apparently it is.
But you know what? Some of the nonsense we've seen, you know, think about that. Folks, when I was kind of getting ready for the show, I was going through some old notes, and I wrote this when Nagy was hired. And I said, just think about it. If Green Bay, if the Packers wanted to wish doom on the Chicago organization, what would they do? It was almost exactly what happened. They would install a passive, touchy-feely joker like Matt Nagy, where everybody's got your back and all that psychobabble. And then they would try to cut corners and devalue physicality of tackling or running, you know, the running game, like Eddie Jackson. And over the years, it's been just nonsense. And you said, why don't they know that? Sometimes everybody's always trying to reinvent the wheel. They're going to be the next smartest guy, you know, and that's what we used to say. Getsy used to, you know, evidently devise game plans like he's the smartest guy in town and nobody has, you know, any concept of what he wants to do or what he can accomplish except him. And nothing was ever accomplished.
Danny, you go back to last year, folks. I know you look forward, everything's going. It's looking pretty good so far, I think, for the year 24. But you go back to last year and the year before, I mean, go on and on and on. With that Getsy, folks, do you remember how many times last season, we got into the red zone? And what I mean by that, that's roughly around a 20-yard going in for a touch, you know, 20 yards out, either 25, sometimes it's 30. I like to think it's 35, 40 yards going in, score a touchdown. You know how many times we would get down there, if you can remember last year, not only from week to week, but from month to month, we'd be down there on let's say it was first down on the 25-yard line, and then we would kick a field goal. And not one time, folks, can you remember? Not one time did we try to score a touchdown? Not one time? I don't think I know what I'm talking about. It was unbelievable. I came unglued down here watching this stuff. How do you not try to score a touchdown? The last time I looked, you got to cross the goal line to score points to win a damn football game. We never did it. And I don't think I know what I'm talking about. I hope what we have this season with Caleb Williams at a quarterback and our receivers, we get in the red zone, Danny. I mean, flood that end zone and let's score touchdowns. At least act or try to know what the hell we're doing. And we haven't done it. Last year, the year goes back and back. It's the same damn thing. Little slip or bubble screen and let's run the football and let's kick a field goal and hope our defense can win the game. Doesn't happen anymore.
To illustrate that point, and I was looking at this, I think our offense scored two touchdowns the final three road games. On the road, we scored two touchdowns. And one of them was in Cleveland where we got the ball given to us on the three and it took us six downs to score a touchdown on fourth down.
Speaking about Cleveland.
Bye-bye, Getsy.
when Justin Fields was our all-world franchise quarterback his first year, we played in Cleveland, folks. At the end of the game, when they shot the gun off to end the game after four quarters, we had a total net yardage of 47 yards with Fields at quarterback, our franchise quarterback, and Getsy, our great offensive coordinator. A net total of 47 yards, of which, breaking it down, 46 yards were running, and we passed for a net 1 yard. 1 yard! You can't make this stuff up.
And hopefully that's well in the past with the new regime coming in here and a new quarterback. Happen will be our draft special is sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. We're with you until 5 o'clock here tonight, 312-981-7200. The number, hello, football fans, from longtime sponsor Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. For all your auto, your home, your business insurance needs, contact Vuk at JeffVuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side. And it'll be our post-draft special extravaganza sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. We'll get back into the conversation here in just a moment. Our friends, that is, at Circus Sports and their Circus Sports Illinois on the app, they have a lot of these prop bets that you can make, especially as it relates to the two number one picks for the Bears. Caleb Williams, a chance to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. The odds are now at a plus 200. Rome Odunze is the Offensive Rookie of the Year. His odds are at plus 2,500. And it was interesting. We were talking about the number of offensive players that went. If you bet this before the draft, the number of quarterbacks taken in the first round was the over-under was set at 4.5. That went over, 6 in the first 12. Wide receivers was at 6.5. That went over at 7. And offensive players total was 21.5. And that went over at 23. And our friends at Circus Sports Illinois, they can check out the app right now and bet like a pro right here in Illinois.
Okay, and we've been talking about the rebuild of the offensive staff. The only keeper was Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach. And to his credit, I think he did the best he could with what, you know, talent he was given. But new receiver coaching, passing game coordinator, everything is completely new. So, you know, it's a fresh day, a fresh page.
Well, Danny, let me tell you, right now at Eberflus, counting him, we have a total of 29 coaches now. 29 coaches. There's 11 starters on offense, 11 starters on defense, and we have 29 coaches. Let's see what they can do. And I have a question for you, big man. Do you think there's a possibility that Caleb Williams this year, if things go right, the offensive line, that's who I'm worried about, steps up to the plate and they're there from week to week to week? Do you think we could possibly have a quarterback to throw for over 4,000 yards?
Yes, I do.
And 30 touchdowns?
In a 17-game schedule now, it's only 231 yards a game.
I understand.
231 yards.
Doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
It doesn't. I mean, that's I would imagine, you know, an offensive.
In the history of this team, you know, nobody's ever done that.
Never.
Throwing for 30 touchdowns or 4,000 yards. Think maybe this could happen, big man?
It could happen this year. Obviously, you know.
If it does, it's got to be because of the offensive line. If everything else, all things being equal, if the offensive line, that's the problem, folks. Make no mistake about it. That's where our problem lies going into this season. Why? Because it has been year after year after year, and the same damn thing happens. These guys are getting hurt. They go missing in action. It's absolutely beyond laughable sometimes. That's the key, my friend.
Well, we were excited when Lucas Patrick was signed as a free agent center from Green Bay. That blew up, but they're doing it again. Coleman Shelton is now going to be the starting center. We got him from the L.A. Rams, and in all estimations, you know, he seems to be more than competent. So that's a good place to start. Obviously, Nate Davis at right guard, Tevin Jenkins at left. You got, you know, Braxton Jones at left tackle, Darnell Wright at right tackle. All that, you know, on paper, we got a chance.
Dad.
We got a chance.
We're talking about the offensive line, and I remember last year, we had guys at center, folks, they in the shotgun, they couldn't snap the ball back to our quarterback.
You throw over his head or below his feet, yeah.
It was.
Oh, my God.
And think about how unnerving that would be to the quarterback. You know, and Justin Fields, you know, we haven't really talked about that. I think that Poles was colossally mistaken by giving him away for a sixth-round pick. He's not going to start in Pittsburgh this year. It's going to be a six. You know, if he starts, I think, 10 games, it goes up to a fourth-round pick. But Russell Wilson will probably start for the Steelers.
Let me just jump in there real quick with this. You know, getting back to Justin Fields, okay, I told from day one when they drafted him, it was a mistake. After year one, year two, year three, I told him, trade him, see what you can get for him. Folks, when you look at just we did trade him this year, okay? Finally got rid of him. Of the 32 teams in the league, obviously, we're one of them. The other 31 teams, the best deal that he could get, I'm talking about Poles, was a sixth-round draft choice. That means the other 30 teams either didn't want to even offer a draft pick, or if they did, it was a seventh-round pick. How pathetic! How pathetic is that?
And that is the 11th player taken in the first round, just 3 years prior.
And they moved up to get him.
Yeah.
How pathetic!
By the way,
I think we gave up two number ones to do it. I think
something crazy like that, and the huge blowout.
I just wanted to make that point, guys. That's all.
Yeah, and again, you know, looking around the league, Atlanta at number 8, they You know, they went and got Michael Penix Jr. And Kirk Cousins just had signed some $160 million deal. It reminded me when Mike Glennon was down here at Soldier Field for the draft, and I was in the room with him when they drafted Trubisky. They made this idiot move up, giving away the world to get Trubisky, and Glennon looked like some, you know, he had swallowed a pickle or something. You know, he was green. He talk about a gut punch. But all that being said, think about this, folks. The 49ers went to the Super Bowl and took the Kansas City Chiefs to overtime. But guess what? The Green Bay Packers outplayed the 49ers up and down the field for three quarters, and they got out of somehow the 49ers were able to you know, stave off the Packers. And then the next week, the Lions were kicking them up and down the field, and then they were able to come back and beat Detroit. We've got to play both those twice a year, and now Minnesota, who beat us once last year, they've got a brand new quarterback in J.J. McCarthy.
We always struggle with the Vikings. That North Division is going to be awfully tough.
Kevin O'Connell.
You know what, Danny? Meet the damn challenge.
Exactly.
All right, just meet it.
Yeah, this take back the North, I haven't heard him say that in a while. Because, you know, we got to see something before we start saying, we're going to take back the North. Well, you got to go out there and do it.
Well, hop. Oh.
Hold that thought. We'll get to you after the break here, OB. Our Half and OB draft special sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com.
I definitely had the mindset to be happy wherever I went, but, you know, in the back of my mind, the Bears visit went tremendously well, and I knew when that phone call came in from Illinois that it was going to be the Bears, and I was super excited. I want to be here. They wanted me here, and I think that's a good connection to have.
Back to Hamp and OB. Host Draft Extravaganza.
And it's sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Interesting story there about Roma Dunze, if you haven't heard it. He kind of felt, as he was saying right there, that this was meant to be. He grew up as a Bears fan. His first jersey was a Brian Urlacher jersey, and he admired Devin Hester, who is, of course, heading into the Hall of Fame. And now here's Roma Dunze lining up with the Chicago Bears.
And he returned
this kid is legitimate.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm telling you, folks, to our listeners and people, this kid is legitimate. You talk about a five-star athlete. This kid, I mean, he's got it all. He's got great hands. He's got separation. He's got speed. And boy, does he have size. And if you think that isn't a huge plus, because you get a lot of defense. A big defensive back is maybe 6'1", 6'2", weighs about 210 pounds. If you got a big tight end and you got a couple of big receivers that can really move and get separation, that's the beginning of a great passing attack. Let's hope we have it this year. Danny, If things fall in place, and hopefully they will, because things have been falling out of place for so long, you get just used to it or sick and tired of it. You think we really have a shot this year?
Yes, I do. And you know, and I'm looking at this coaching staff again. Your point about the offensive line is dead on. But all that being said, Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator in Seattle, from Seattle, he brought Kerry Joseph. Now, he will be the quarterback coach. He was there in Seattle, part of the guys that were able to revamp Geno Smith and get him to a Pro Bowl. But they were under Greg Olsen, who I always thought was a really smart guy. And the passing game coordinator now is Thomas Brown. Now, Thomas Brown, where did he come from? Well, he came from Carolina, where we saw how the Panthers' offensive passing game under Bryce Young, they were lost last year. They were awful. We saw them right here. We had to go down and kick a field goal in the fourth quarter to beat them.
And they
remember?
Had to miss one, yeah.
It was the worst in football. They only scored 13.9 points a game. So, on paper, does it give you a lot of, you know, belief that things are going to be coming up roses everywhere? Maybe not. Maybe not. But, all that being said, never fear, OB. Ryan Poles drafted a punter with our fourth-round pick, Torrey Taylor from Iowa. And I thought the reason we drafted all these great offensive players is we don't need a punter. Now they go out. How long has it been since a punter was drafted that high?
I think Sauerbrunn might have been the last one that the Bears took that high.
if I'm not mistaken.
The kid from the Raiders. What was his name?
Ray Guy, way back in the day.
And, well, guess what? He proved out to be one hell of a punter and got him out of a lot of bad situations.
Another thing that is of concern, remember last year when Alan Williams ran afoul of the program and was dismissed, Eberflus took over the defense. And they turned it around a little bit, got better when they traded for Montez Sweat. But this year, they've went and hired another defensive coordinator, Eric Washington. Now, Eric Washington will set up the defense schematically, but Eberflus is going to retain the play calling. So he will be the one calling the defensive, you know, sets. All that being said, why, you know, he was able to do it last year. Maybe he realized that, you know, it was a little in over his head. Maybe that's why he's having Washington be the guy that sets up the defense. But all that being said, the offense has completely revamped the entire staff except for Chris Morgan, who we all thought did a good job of keeping a bad group together last year.
312-981-7200 is our telephone number. We've got someone on the line who wants to chat with you guys about the Bears draft. Let's go out to Tennessee and welcome in Jim. Jim, you're up with Hampton OB. Go right ahead.
Hey, two of my heroes, one my childhood, one my early adulthood, and then there's Andy.
Oh, thanks anyway, so much.
Couple of comments. Number one, with the fourth pick, they picked that offensive lineman out of Yale?
Yep. A big kid that played at Hinsdale Central.
Hinsdale Central, right?
Right. And obviously, you're not going to have any, you know, flamethrowers rushing a passer in the Ivy League. But he was, you know, he did, you know, come to the combine. He did, you know, well enough to where, you know, they put him. What was it? Third round pick. I think he was the 75th player taken in the draft. Anything in the top 100, you got to be a pretty good player. Do the math. 50 states, so you're one of the top two players. Every state. So just rule of thumb, he has a chance to compete. Larry Borum is still on the team, but obviously with some of the injuries and Braxton Jones not being able to stay healthy last year, they wanted to try to bolster the offensive line.
My second comment is I'm down here near Chattanooga, and I'm listening to all the chatter about the Falcons drafting Penix. I think I figured it out. Number one, they paid Kirk Cousins, what, $190 million? How many seasons has Kirk Cousins played the full season without getting hurt?
I would think.
And the second.
I would think most of them, yeah.
The second thing is, what was it, 4 years ago when the Packers drafted Jordan Love behind Aaron Rodgers, everyone went, what? Well, Penix is going to have some time to learn how to be an NFL quarterback while Cousins leads the way. So that when Cousins retires or whatever, then Penix will be groomed like Jordan Love was. Does that make sense?
Well, obviously that, you know, in my mind is the plan. All that being said, you know, Michael Penix obviously has had a history. He's 6 years in the collegiate level, and he's had both knees, you know, reconstructive surgery on ACLs on both. All that being said, I personally was not that impressed with him, and I think the entire league feels that Terry Fontenot, the GM of the Falcons, kind of pulled the rug out from under the program, I think in desperation, reaching for Michael Penix. But that being said, who knows how Kirk Cousins, you know, when you sign a player that's coming off an injury, you go through a physical and all that, maybe during some of the workouts there were some setbacks, maybe they're being prudent and saying, you know what, he was the best one left, we're going to go with him in case Kirk Cousins doesn't, you know, pan out and start. But Kirk Cousins, I think he's guaranteed 2 years and about $100 million. The whole thing, I think, again, this smacks of Ryan Pace, who is now the pro personnel director in Atlanta.
Are you serious?
He is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's same thing. The same Trubisky after signing Mike Glennon to $26 million a year contracts.
That guy should be in cell block C.
Yeah, don't forget too that the Penix is 25 years old. I mean, he's not a spring chicken to sit on the bench for 4 or 5 years.
And if you go back, obviously he had Adunze as a receiver, and they were very prolific during the year. But in the title game, he choked. He played horrible. I thought they were going to beat the Wolverines, and he played as bad as you can play, and they still almost pulled it up.
Jim, thanks for the call. We appreciate that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And, yeah, I think the Bears have the Falcons to thank for Rome Odunze at this point, because that seemed like it might have been the way to go.
Well, and again, how about remember a year ago when we traded the first pick to Carolina and got their first that eventuated into the overall number one this
year? Right, right.
How fortuitous was Ryan Poles.
Yep.
Ryan Poles, you could think that Carolina probably would be one of the worst 4 or 5 teams, but, they came through flying colors, and we got the first overall pick, and I think the best quarterback since Joe Burrow came out 5 years ago.
And the Bears also get their second-round pick next year as a result of that trade as well, which was a complete and total fleecing of the Carolina Panthers, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Maybe that's why we felt like we could splurge on a punter with the fourth.
There you go. And the funny story about the punter, Torrey Taylor, who went to Iowa, won the Ray Guy Award, and was averaging nearly 48 yards a punt, is that Caleb Williams apparently texted him and said, "Hey, welcome to the club. We're not going to need you that much next year."
Didn't we have the worst punter in the league last year?
He was up there. I mean, it's
wasn't he the worst?
But he got to kick a lot, so maybe that had something to do with his average. He was on the field all the time.
His leg wore out.
Exactly.
But I was looking at the draft, and obviously the big winners in my mind, the Bears. The Bears, they were the overall winners of this draft, getting two ideal additions. Minnesota, they're going to be salty, folks. And think about this. You got J.J. throwing to J.J.
Yes.
Jefferson, their receiver, may be the best in football. He missed most of the season last year with an injury. He'll be back. Kevin O'Connell, their coach, I'm real impressed with him. Vic Fangio is now the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. And they got Cooper DeJean, kind of a Swiss Army knife cornerback safety. Reminds me of Harrison, the kid in Minnesota. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence got Brian Thomas Jr. to throw to. But I think the sneaky pick of the first round winner was Kansas City. They traded up with Buffalo to get Xavier Worthy, a burner out of Texas at wideout. So, we're going to be better, but it looks like a lot of other people are going to be better too.
Jeez, maybe missing Tyreek Hill a little bit with that with the speed that they let him go to Miami.
Well, the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, Danny, I'm looking at this coming year's schedule. I like it. I think if we come through offensively and defensively the way we should, I think we're going to have a shot at it. And I just hope that Eberflus and his 28 coaches, because there are, folks, 29 coaches on the staff, I just hope they can put this together, because I feel they've made some good acquisitions last couple years. I like this draft, although we didn't have a lot of picks, but boy, did it came out to be some quality picks. Danny, I tell you something. I haven't been this happy or this enthused about the Chicago Bears actually going to do something, actually maybe win our division or win enough games to get into the playoffs.
It's been great to be here with my family and stuff, but also to be able to have Rome Odunze at number 9. It's pretty sick, right? Really happy, really excited, ready to get going.
Back to Hamp and OB. Host Rap Extravaganza.
It is sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. That the voice of the Bears' new quarterback, Caleb Williams. Here with Hampton will be until the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, 312-981-7200. We've been talking a lot about the Bears and the draft. If there's been another issue coming up, we'll get to that in just a second.
Andy, how long have you known OB? 7, 8 years
now?
Yeah,
I mean,
we've been here at WGN.
Exactly.
He said he's never seen you giddy like this.
You're
and I said,
giddy.
I haven't either. I've only known him 45 years.
He's beside himself with giddiness. It's good to see.
I see things.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, hopefully that all works out.
I see things that I like. Are you kidding me? They've been so awful. It's been unbelievable. And is it being critical? No. I haven't lost my sight yet. I see. I understand this game. I played it for a long time, and I understand the game.
Yep.
And I don't think I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you losing, played enough on enough losing teams. Winning teams, enough on winning teams. Played on a world championship team. Found out what that was all about. So sometimes that's – but with the Bears, it's just been – colossal mistake after another, especially with a head coach.
Yep.
It's been a disaster. And with quarterbacks, it's been a disaster. My God, Green Bay Packers, Danny, jump in here on this. What, they had two quarterbacks and in what, 30-some years?
Yeah. Yep.
And I think we had, folks, we've gone through like something like around 38 quarterbacks or 39, give or take a few one way or the other. Are you kidding me? My God, when is somebody going to wake up in this organization? maybe the year 24, maybe this is the year where ownership wakes up, management wakes up, coaches handle and take care of business, and players give 110%, and for quite God's sakes, win!
And the reign of terror from Green Bay isn't over.
No, it's not. 312-981-7200.
And I agree with what you said. You know what, though? Whatever they're thinking about, yeah, they can come down there and they can slap us around. You know what our thoughts should be? You come down here and I guess you can slap us around. We're going to punch you right back in the mouth. Because enough's enough.
Let's go out to the phones. Let's say hi to Joe on the northwest side. Joe, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I'm curious what you guys think about the fact that the Bears wasted over $170 million to buy property they're not going to use when they could have spent that money on players.
Well, this isn't over.
No,
and
it's not.
You know what? Now it's a high-stakes negotiation game where they bought the property in Arlington Heights. Those people went crazy, created all this tax burden. The Bears are saying, no, we don't have to come. We're gonna show up back down here at Soldier Field. Now the mayor is saying, yeah, stay here. We'll do this. It's not over, but on paper, it does look like more mistakes, OB.
Well, personally, I think there's a lot that's under the table. I'm not talking illegal. I'm just saying a lot of stuff and moves that were made or could be made that we don't know about yet. They know about it. The city of Chicago knows about it. Arlington Heights knows about it. And the Bears know about it. And I think there's a lot more of gamemanship that has to go on here, one way or the other. Arlington Heights or Chicago, I don't think it's over with yet.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but there were a couple of things during the presentation that weren't covered. One was parking, because they're taking away the parking deck over there when they build the stadium. And the other was the fact that the Bears all along had said, we want to own our own stadium. This would not be a Bears-owned stadium. It's a publicly-owned stadium, and the Park District would be in charge again.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're talking about having concerts and this and right. that and every other thing, which they could do out in Arlington. So my point is, there's too much yet under the table. They know that Chicago knows what's going on. Arlington Heights knows, and the Bears knows what's going on. The only people that don't publicly is all of us, and they are not about to tell us what is the inside scoop.
All right, Hap, it'll be draft special coming up until 5 o'clock here. And Hap, I asked you this off the air, and I'd like to get into this and get your thoughts real quick. You know, you were around when the Bears, you know, basically went for broke in 1983 with the draft that they had, and you look at it, it was a star-studded draft, and guys like Richard Dent were in there, Willie Gault, Jimbo Covert, and many other names that you brought up. Dave Duerson and Tom Thayer were also part of that draft. And I asked you, was that the most important draft in Bears history, or is this one here that we just saw in 2024?
And I think this one is. And, OB, I'd like your perspective on this. Here's that draft, the 83 draft, those obviously were great players, but they were in a perfect situation. of a young, you know, expanding horizons type of a team. All that being said, it wasn't the first overall pick and the ninth overall pick. McMahon, I think, was number six. And then, Covert was number six. And I think Willie was, what, 13?
13 or 14, yeah.
Something like, I don't know. But there was already a nucleus of certain players on the roster, and they embellished it and kind of rounded it, everything into shape. This one is almost like, I hate to say starting at ground zero, but it is. When you draft the first, and by the way, folks, first round quarterbacks, I think the ones that stay with their team at least 5 years now is only like 43%. So, you know, there's no guarantees in life, but the first overall pick, I think, of the Super Bowl era, which started in 65, so how many years has that been? What is that? How many? 40, 50 years?
Almost 50, actually.
Yeah. Of quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl, not named Manning, because Peyton won two and Eli won two.
Actually, almost 60, by the way.
60 years. Okay. I think there's only three quarterbacks not named Manning that have won a Super Bowl over the last 60 years.
Yeah.
So, it's again, it's not a sure thing, but you look at, you know, on paper, and that's all we can do right now is look at what these players project as. I mean, I think it's the most important draft of my lifetime. You know, the 65 one, you know, with Butkus and Gale Sayers, obviously a special draft.
Very special, yeah.
But they never won a championship.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. I mean, and you obviously can see at this point that, you know, when Justin Fields came into the organization, when they traded up to get him in 2021, and by the way, of that draft class of quarterbacks in 2021, there's only one that is still with his former team or current team, and that's Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
In Jacksonville. Everybody else has moved on to other pastures. But you could make the argument, too, that, you know, the cupboard was certainly not as full when Justin Fields got here as what they're trying to do now, bringing in not only Caleb Williams, but also Roma Dunze, and kind of filtering in other free agents, and you get the trade with Keenan Allen. I mean, the cupboard's there. I mean, it's pretty full.
Well, gentlemen, players, yeah, there's no question about it. You can't play the game without them. You know, you got to get the good ones, and how does that happen? You got to have good ownership, and you got to have a good coaching staff. You've got to get a head coach, Danny, which you guys had Mike Ditka. And I know when he came in, he talked to Hallis. He went from the Dallas Cowboys, and he wanted to be the head coach here. And he was a no-nonsense, and I think you'll agree with that coach at that particular time. And you've got to have a coach that's headstrong and that has knowledge of this game. Now, what are you saying, OB? You mean like Eberflus doesn't have knowledge or something? Well, guess what? Some of them don't. Some of them don't, and you can see it right in the game plan. When you're watching the game, the first quarter, the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, where are they on the field? How much offense is going? How much defense is going? How many points are they scoring? How many conversions on third down are they making? These are all things that come into play. You can have the greatest draft in the world, but when you've got a stupid person that's a head coach and you have a stupid coaching staff, and don't tell me they're not out there. We know a lot about it. That's the difference. That's the difference is the coaching staff. But you took all the great players in the world. You get 29 coaches that don't know what the hell they're doing, and believe me, they're out there, and we seem to find most of them. I'll tell you what. That's the game to me.
We restocked the cupboard with coaches on the offensive side. So, again, the season can't come quick enough, though.
You can draft the greatest players that you think are on the planet and make the greatest transition. But if you don't have a coaching staff that can bring them up to speed and get them going with solid plans, my God, what are you thinking about?
Proof's in the pudding. Look how they basically ruined Jay Cutler. They ruined Trubisky, and we know that Justin Fields didn't get a fair shake.
You know, very special and a very unique skill set. When you watch him play, there's things that he can do on the field that, you know, you don't see any other quarterback doing. He's very confident in the pocket, very confident, you know, extending a play. The play's never over till, you know, the whistle's blowing.
Now, back to Hamp and OB. Post-draft extravaganza.
Which is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Andy Mazur along with the guys looking forward to the NFL season coming up. It'll start sometime in early September.
Rock and roll.
And we'll be ready to roll through early January, hopefully into January, if you catch my drift with this new Chicago Bears team.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about our prospects. At home this year, we have, you know, the division, the Lions, Packers, Vikings. We play at home against the Rams, Seahawks, Jacksonville. Jacksonville may be in London.
Could be in London, yeah.
Okay. Tennessee, Carolina, and New England. Except for the division, I mean, all of those are winnable. Away, we've got to play the Lions, Packers, Vikes. But we have Arizona, Houston, Indianapolis, Washington, and the 49ers. We got to go and play the 49ers.
That schedule is in our favor.
Oh, it is.
Folks, believe what I'm telling you. Believe what Dan's telling you. And my God, Eberflus, you and your staff, if you guys can pull this together, and these kids come in with a dedication of winning a Super Bowl from day one. And I'll tell you what, I like our schedule. I like the draft. I like our acquisitions we made in free agency. And I think Poles, you know, he's made some mistakes, Danny. But I'll tell you what, I think he can hold his head up high. And I hope Eberflus, getting rid of Getsy and the rest of his gang, the Getsyans, they're gone. And hopefully we can put something together coaching-wise and get these kids that we got. And let's win the Super Bowl. Not let's have a winning season or whatever. There should only be one thought in their mind, and that's to be the champion, to be the world champion. That's the only thought that the Bears should have. Not winning your division, winning the Super Bowl. And that means a week-to-week, day-to-day, hour-to-hour dedication. You got 17 weeks to get it done. It can be done.
So all that being said, you know, looking ahead, the 49ers right now are the favorites. They're plus 500. Means you bet $100 right now, and then the 49ers win, you get five. Well, you go on down Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, Detroit, Cincinnati. The Bears are at 16, okay? And they are plus 4,000. Now, that was a week ago before the draft. Now, the favorites, Kansas City, 49ers, Baltimore, Detroit, Buffalo, and Cincinnati. But we are now in the second pool, the contenders. The Bears are at plus 3,000. So they've went from, well, actually it was 4,400 to 3,000. So this draft has got a lot of people setting up, taking notice of the Bears.
A lot of juice, yep.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that for the first time in a long time that they're not at the bottom of the league. I mean, there's interest.
The schedule.
Yeah, the schedule
and
helps.
This draft are two of the huge drivers of that number almost being, you know, reduced by over a third. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, we're looking forward to this kickoff, obviously. And we got about 3 minutes to go here in the rest of the show here. And then, of course, we'll be coming back with you week one when they announce the schedule, when they announce the dates that everybody plays everybody. I believe that's right after Mother's Day. I think it's the second week in May that they have their big unveiling of the schedule show. So we'll know a little bit more about that in about a month.
Well, and what is interesting about this is if you look at the Bears last, what were they, 7-9?
7-10.
7-10 last year? That's right.
Yep.
17 games.
Danny, last 3 years, we basically averaged five wins a season. Okay.
Well, we have jumped out of a group that a lot of people probably thought we should be in into the contender group with the Packers, with the Dolphins, with the Chargers, with the Rams, with the Eagles. We are in that group now. And here's some of the dark horses that have went the opposite way. The Cleveland Browns, the Jaguars, Tampa Bay, who was in the playoffs this year and caused some problems, and the Minnesota Vikings going the opposite way. They, you know, the loss
on our schedule.
Yeah. So, again, all these different things. You know, how receptive will Caleb Williams be to this offense? You know, the schematical design of it. All that's important, but the overarching concern coming out of this 2-hour program, Andy, is what OB has beat the desk about, the offensive line.
Yep.
They kept stability in the coaches. Chris Morgan is still got a job up at Hallis Hall, and let's hope that he really, you know, kind of verifies the fact that they retained him, and he does a great job, you know, finding five guys that can go out there and play and get it done this year.
Well, you've got the quarterback, Danny, going into the 24th season you wanted, and hopefully he's a quarterback that can really do something that hasn't been done here since, what, 1985, the greatest team supposedly ever to win a world championship. And I'm going to tell you.
Supposedly.
His eyebrows went up when you said that.
What the?
I mean, supposedly.
Yeah, it is supposedly. But all that, again, and I think I said this to Lisa Dent yesterday, and I said, you know what, as kids, you know, Christmas, oh, you got, I want a BB gun, I want all these things, and then you open your gifts and it's not what you thought, what you wanted. For the first time in my mind, 45 years that I've been, you know, a watcher of the organization, we got exactly what I hoped for.
I agree with you, Danny, but the one negative going in, and it must be addressed. Like, those guys can't be that stupid. I'm talking about this coach. You think they don't know where that problem is? I hope the hell they do. And the problem is the offensive line. Guys, stay on it. Folks, I think we've got a chance to really make a statement this year, 2024. I think the Bears are on the path to rebuilding and coming to be a championship team again. I really feel that.
Well, Sammy's going to go back to the tapes and see if there's ever been a time in the 8 years we've been doing the show that you have been giddy. I can't remember it. I don't think Andy can either. Maybe Sammy can find it.
He won't. You know.
Gentlemen, it's been a real treat to hang out with you. Have a great summer, and we'll see you here in the early fall for Bears football. Happen OB, our draft special, has been sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hello, football fans, from longtime sponsor Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk at JeffVuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.